Hi, it's Dave. Today is part three for my conversation with Zach and Jesse Cataldo. They run a popular YouTube channel called Now You Know about Tesla and renewable energy. In this video, we discuss if Tesla can really charge $100,000 for their full self-driving option in the future, and what are the pros and cons for such a pricing move. And finally, what's the most realistic pricing strategy going forward? I've also linked to a video with my full conversation with Zach and Jesse in the video description below. Yeah, I think also one other interesting, I think, thing that is also underlining some of the disagreements is our idea on how much Tesla can charge for full self-driving, right? And it seems like on your end...
How much do you think they can charge for it?
Well, here's my kind of picture is there's going to be different phases. Actually, I did this fantastic interview that I put out this morning about... Tesla's full self-driving with a neural net expert who's been following Tesla's thing. But in our conversation, he brings up, okay, there's gonna be four phases. So zero is kind of regular car, no autopilot. Phase one is kind of like supervised full self-driving beta type of thing, what we're in right now. Phase two is kind of this unsupervised, right, full self-driving. But it's still mixed with like Uber and Lyft are still competing in that same robotaxi network, let's say. And phase three is it's everything is robotaxi. You know, this the human driver is out. So the key question is with this phase two, this transitional phase, where we still have Uber and Lyft drivers on the road together with robotaxi, let's say, like the key question is how many years this phase two is gonna last. Meaning if the competition comes up in, let's say, 3 or 4 years behind Tesla and is able to come up with a compelling, a decently, you know, good enough, let's say, autonomous driving solution, then that radically shrinks that phase two period where Tesla won't be able to capture as much of the excess value, for example, compared to, let's say, it takes 10 years for the competition to catch up. And so... in a lot of ways, there's a lot of clues from, let's say, Elon, who's saying long-term advantage is not autonomous driving. Everyone, it's going to be commoditized. And also those in the neural network kind of machine learning AI community, they all are agreeing that this stuff is going to be so much easier in, you know, every year that it goes forward. And so the other companies aren't that far behind. They are far behind right now. But as Tesla solves the problem, it actually makes it easier for these other companies to solve it too. And they can poach the engineers, you know, build their 1,000 people team and copy, et cetera. And so if Tesla is, let's say, right now they might be 5 or 6 years ahead, 7 years ahead. But let's say by the time Robotaxi rolls out, another company or companies can copy, et cetera. And let's say they're 3 or 4 years behind. In that scenario, I think Tesla, for them to charge more than $30,000 or $40,000, it's gonna actually ruin a lot of like relationships, and it's gonna be kind of distasteful because later on they're gonna have to drop the price when competition comes, because competition is going to offer a different, right, autonomous driving vehicle solution. And so in Tesla's best interest, I think they want to share that excess value, especially in the first 3 or 4 years that they have a clear advantage, there's no other products out there. They're gonna share that with the ride-hailing customer. So the rates will drop, let's say, from $2 or $3 down to maybe $1.50 or something, right? So it'll be half as cheap. And then they'll share that excess value with the owner of the car who's putting the car on the network. In some cases, Tesla will have their own cars on their networks in urban areas where they need to do that. And then they'll, you know, keep some of the profit through the robotaxi commissions, but also through kind of a hardware model where they sell the full self-driving as an upfront option or through a monthly service, right? So there's different ways to capture that, but in some ways there's danger to capture too much of it too fast because it's not a long-term sustainable advantage or situation. It's not a 10 or 20 year type of situation because of the competition and the nature of autonomous driving being software, and it's going to be commoditized, you know, soon after that. And so because of that, they have a short window, and it's in the best interest for Tesla not to overcharge, basically not to price gouge the customers, because that just creates a lot of bad will. So in my opinion, full self-driving will not be as expensive, for example, above 30,000 or so that some people are expecting or thinking it could be, just because the situation, if there was no competition, yes, Tesla could charge up to the moon. But because there's competition, this is a solvable problem. Not only Tesla will solve it, there'll be many other companies that eventually solve this problem. It's just a matter of time and window. So, I mean, that's kind of my take on it.
Well, even with the 3 to 4 year thing, I think that they could still, I don't think that it's overcharging. If you, first of all, it's a brand new technology. So when HD TVs came out, they cost a lot. And we were kind of like, okay, they cost a lot. Now they cost hardly anything. And if you think back to that TV that you bought that's hanging in the, that you've replaced and is now in some spare bedroom, you paid like thousands of dollars for something that today would only cost hundreds of dollars. So people are kind of used to prices of things going up when they're new and then dropping down. So I don't think that they would really feel that.
And secondly, $100,000 for a car that can make you far more than that, there's plenty of investors who'll be happy to pay that. So I don't.
Right.
There won't be any bad will. There will be bad will from people who are like, "Oh, Elon, it's so expensive." But there'll be plenty of people who, if the numbers work out, will go grab them up.
Well, and Tesla will be a monopoly. And if they're a monopoly for, I think, any longer than 1 to 2 years, there wouldn't be any bad will, especially if the price were to slowly come down, since in anticipation, but even without, I think that because the competition wouldn't have any incentive to undercut Tesla by a huge margin, they would probably start to bring it down, and the competition would slowly bring it down over time. And that is assuming that we have, they are going to catch up in 3 to 4 years, which I concede would probably happen, especially once Tesla proves out their system and it's kind of understood the general framework of how you'd accomplish it.
There's a lot you'd have to just outright copy, though. I mean, maybe Tesla would allow the copying, but I mean, in terms of the hardware, in terms of the software, I mean, Dojo, Elon says, is going to take a year just to learn all this stuff. So unless he's willing to just kind of hand over all that data, it does seem like it would be hard for a company to just come along a few years later and be like, oh, yeah, we figured it all out. But
even assuming that were the case, I just think that, Tesla doesn't have any reason not to charge whatever they're going to charge, and there is an actual value for it, because again, you're going to be making the money from the robotaxi by owning it, and so you are going to probably make that money back plus. And therefore, yeah, things get better as time goes on and things get cheaper as time goes on, and I think that people are used to that.
See, one kind of challenge with the high pricing kind of idea of full self-driving is this phase two, where there's unsupervised robotaxis on the road together with Lyft and Uber drivers, it's not it's turn on the switch and then the whole world has it, and then turn off the switch, all the human drivers, get out of the picture. It's a very blended approach, meaning it's going to happen, different municipalities, different regions, different cities, over time, different countries, et cetera. And because of that, it's that 3 or 4 year lead that we might say that Tesla has in autonomous driving. It's actually not like this lead where, right, they can flip on a switch, have, massive blanket coverage of autonomous driving for 3 or 4 years, accrue all that extra value, and then, the competition comes up. It's a slow, blended ramp. And because of that, that's another reason why I think Tesla's not going to charge more than $30,000 for this option, because it's not realized. It's not mature enough, the market, to realize the amount of potential gains. It's going to take a longer time for this rollout to happen, for those gains to be realized.
Let's just say it's San Francisco, and let's just say that it's 2022 and Tesla Network opens up and there's still Uber and Lyft. And I've got a car that I put on the full self-driving network, and it's, let's say, a third, half the cost of Uber and Lyft. Aren't I getting all the rides? Like, aren't I just basically, my car is going to be busy at all hours of the day? So, I mean, I'm going to be making money on that car every day. So as long as the numbers work out that the full self-driving cost is worth me investing, won't I just be glad to pay it?
Because also at the same time, it's going to be rather kind of unique to have a robotaxi car. Obviously, there's going to be millions of owners who are probably going to be wanting to put their car on the network, because we're going to start to see millions of
but
others
I just want to go to the point
globally.
Of I don't think Uber and Lyft are going to survive as long. Like, there's not going to be 1 or 2 years. If you put a product on the market that's as good or better and then cheaper, then the other products go away. So,
okay, so
they can't compete. If they drop full self-driving and say, you know, 20% of the owners in a particular area are going to put their cars on the network indefinitely, and a dabbling of some of the other owners, I think that you're going to have to drop the price of ride sharing if they want to compete. And if they don't compete, yeah, there's a bit of a supply and demand issue of like, okay, do we want to wait 5 minutes for the cheaper car, or do we want to just get the Uber now? But that's wicked compelling.
Well, actually, okay, so if you picture San Francisco, right, that's a great example of, let's say, Tesla rolls out the robotaxi network in San Francisco. And the question, though, is, and a lot of it depends on how much safer is this robotaxi compared to, let's say, a human. Because if the robotaxi by that time is, you know, 10 times safer, then, like, we need to err on the side of being like, hey, this is going to be a massive, you know, destruction of the Uber Lyft network very quickly. Now, the closer this full self-driving capability or actual performance is, I'd say, closer to a human performance. I think there is some reason to give where if there was a full self-driving unsupervised car and a human supervised car, but they were of comparable quality in terms of performance, that people generally would choose the human driven car. And the reason is because there's a lot of cultural bias, you know, and whether that's correct or not correct, but people will trust something that they're used to more than they're not to, especially if it's comparable. Let's say the price is comparable to. Yeah, let's say the price is comparable to. I'm just saying that's human nature to trust that, especially when they're not used to new technology, especially when it's like life and death, you know, risks. And so in that sense, a lot of the pace of the full self-driving rollout is going to determine on the quality of the performance, actually, of the full self-driving. So what I'm positing in some ways is that the full self-driving kind of experience is not going to reach a 10x human driving right away. It's going to be a ramp over time because there's so many edge cases. And so by the time they start to roll out these networks, let's say in 2022, and let's say they hit San Francisco, in my opinion, I think, you know, it could be slightly better than the human. It could be 1 or 2 times or 3 times better, I don't know, over that time. But what's going to happen is going to take a good maybe 2 years or so once they launch in San Francisco to first get enough cars on the road, second, to build that trust, third, to, you know, build a network and get the habits going of people actually calling these cars. And it's going to take time before the Tesla network eclipses the Uber Lyft network in that region, right? And what I'm saying is that's the blended ramp. And so up during the blended ramp, you can't accrue the full value of that network because it's a growing network, right, over time. And so that cuts into the 3 or 4 year lead that Tesla has. So now Tesla only has like a couple year lead, right? And that's one of the reasons why Tesla won't and can't, or I don't think Tesla will charge exorbitantly $30,000 or more for their option, because they just don't have, the situation isn't they have a 10-year or 20-year window on this thing.
Well, there's a couple things there. I mean, one is that the car doesn't have to drive any better than an Uber driver. So that's someone who you don't have never met before, can be anywhere good at driving, as somehow pass their license test to, you know, an extremely, you know, race car driver level. Anywhere between those two, but more towards one side, obviously. And then having that person drive for hours and hours and hours a day. I've been in a lot of Ubers, been in a lot of Lyfts, and a lot of times I'm like, I'm scared and I'm a little skeezed out. If I try a Tesla and it is slightly more predictable or slightly better than, and I'm not saying that it will be, but if it feels better than being in a car with someone else, and if it also, I don't have to deal with someone, as in I don't have to have a conversation. I don't have to sit there with an awkward silence. I'm just kind of by myself. I think that a lot of people are going to like that. I think especially younger people who trust technology almost a little too much sometimes. And then if the cost is in any way lower, it's just like that's a big no-brainer. And I think Tesla can come in at whatever rate they want, right?
Yeah,
Because
I believe they won't go in until they can charge a lower rate. So I think off the bat, you're not going to get an even playing field. It'll be Teslas are cheaper. Also, I think regulators won't allow it until the data shows that they're 3 or 4 times safer than a human. So with those two things in mind, I just think that this blended ramp, which you're right, there will be a time, I think it's going to be a lot shorter than you think. Also, I don't think that this 4 years you're talking about, that Tesla has the lead, is 4 years. I just think that you have to look at the fact that Tesla has innovated so many parts of this vertically integrated chain that no one else has. Now, you can go to companies like Mobileye and buy certain pieces, but they're not even at that point yet.
Right.
So I don't know, unless Tesla just said, here, everybody, have our tech, we want, you know, maybe.
Yeah, but I mean, like on the point of being copied, like the whole thing about software is everything is copied by everyone else. It's just like, that's how coders like make code, is they just, you know, they just pull code from everywhere else. That's how you code. Like that's how everyone learns how to code, right? So the whole software industry is the ethos of the software industry is like, that's why like Steve Jobs is known as the pirate, right? Of, you know, and those guys, pirates of Silicon Valley, they like rip off everyone else, and they do it in a way where it's actually respected to steal as an artist, as they would call it, right? And so,
except that, but I mean, no one's even bought into a car without LiDAR yet. So for you to say that they're just 3 or 4 years behind, I would totally agree if these were Chinese companies, because Chinese companies are following Tesla's lead. They're going, oh, this is how you build a car, let's build it like that. But the car companies that I think we're talking about are probably the Fords and the GMs and the, you know, they're not copying.
Yeah, well, so actually, I don't think the OEMs are going to have a chance. I mean, we're talking about software companies.
Company. Okay.
Yeah, these are software.
Yeah, right,
well, software companies. Like, for example, like, have you guys seen, you know, the new Volvo Polestar? They have their UI. If you've seen, like, any YouTube videos, it's a kind of mind-blowing in a way, where they've taken, Google has basically made an operating system for the car, right? This isn't projecting or mirroring your phone anymore. This is actually controlling all of the functions of the car. It reminds me a lot about the 2012 Model S, where it's like we first walk into it, like, oh my gosh, I could like control everything, the windows, the range, the driving modes. You can actually control driving modes and everything from this operating system that Google has provided Volvo. And if you look at that, it's like if a company like Google, if they already offer this operating system and they say to companies, and let's say this is even separate from Waymo. I mean, that's the other thing. These software, they can pivot very quickly to do non-LiDAR stuff, copy Tesla's approach. But if they can say to OEMs and say, hey, we're going to give you full self-driving package and our OS to run your cars for free, and you keep all of the profit for selling your full self-driving packages, right? It would benefit Google in a sense of, first, it makes Tesla not a monopoly. Second, it allows Google to be in the car so they could control the interface. They can show YouTube videos and music and, you know, search and all this stuff. So it preserves their main source of ad revenue in the car, right? So Google benefits still by offering it for free. The OEMs benefit because they get this top-notch operating system and full self-driving software package for free now that they can mark up. And this is like the lifeline. This is like the hope of right, these car companies. I don't know who's gonna reject that type of offer. Now, the only question in that, or there's several questions, obviously, of whether Google will want to do that. But one of the questions is, can Google catch up to Tesla? And if so, how many years would it take for Tesla or Google to catch up to Tesla in that scenario? And when I talk with these AI experts, it's like, it's actually not that hard to catch up to Tesla as long as you have the data. Right, because the neural nets, like, this is done. This is a solved problem. Like, not only Tesla has it, like other AI experts can create the same type of neural nets. It's like we need to train these neural nets. Tesla has an advantage because of data, but if Google offered this operating system, the full self-driving package, these cameras, and just copy just how Tesla gathers data, once Google has enough vehicles that are loaded with their OS and hardware, and capturing images similar to what Tesla's done to train, then it's basically they've solved the same problem as Tesla. So the question is, how many years would that take before until Google says, we're doing this to where the hardware's in the car? For me, I was kind of surprised when I saw Google's operating system in the Volvo Polestar, because it shows that they've already they're not sitting back. They actually have created an entire operating system for the car already. So that's already check mark done. All they need to do is actually provide the second module, which is the full self-driving, you know, package, and just get some cameras going on. And they're very, very close to being on the heels. I'm not saying like they're going to overtake Tesla, obviously, or that it's going to be, they're 1 or 2 years behind. But on the other hand, I'm not going to say they're 5 or 10 years behind, because in software and AI, things move very fast. And you don't even need a big team. You can just have a small team of 20 or 30 top minds, and they can just blast through, you know, what this AI stuff is doing.
Well, it gets down to hardware. They'd need to develop the hardware so that it was cheap enough to go into enough vehicles, and then they would need to start collecting, and then they would be able to start to roll out full self-driving, and then they would be able to start to catch up to Tesla in terms of safety. So all of these different steps, I agree that it could be 3 to 4 years.
Because, I mean, just the hardware step, just to point out, one of the reasons Elon had to come up with his own hardware is just energy use. I mean, they could... NVIDIA could put enough computers in the back of a car. It's just that they use so many watts.
Right? Yeah, the interesting thing about Google is they're actually ahead of Tesla in hardware, in the sense of, like, so there's this, you know, I was talking to this neural net expert yesterday about this, and basically, like, you know, Tesla's made these neural net specific chips, right, to be optimized for the neural nets, low power consumption for the car usage. But actually, Google is the one who has been on the forefront of that, more pushing it with their TPUs, which are focused on neural net processing. And it's just that Tesla probably didn't have the best relationship with Google, doesn't want to trust Google with all this, you know, training and processing, and they're doing their own thing with Dojo. But in that sense, Google has much more experience with making neural net chips, which is the essence of kind of Tesla's design. And so in some ways, it wouldn't take too long for Google to do something as good, if not better, than Tesla on the hardware front, because they've got like thousands of engineers on it. You know, Tesla has a much smaller team and less experience, actually.
True. Okay, so let's say 3 to 4 years. In that time, Tesla's going to be able to offer a higher price ride. They're basically going to be able to say, okay, it's 20% cheaper than Uber or Lyft to get from point A to point B, whatever they need to attract people. And I don't think that they're going to need to do much to attract people out of Uber and Lyft's hands for the reasons of just like privacy and all the other, like not
safety.
Like not like the privacy that we usually talk about, but like actual human privacy away from people and potentially even safety, even if they, you know,
there's a lot of people who don't like to ride in Ubers. I mean,
right.
we're guys, so we don't think about it as much, but there's a lot of people who don't.
Right.
Like
not just car safety, not just car smashy, right. Smashy safety, but safety of your human person.
Right.
So there's a lot of good reasons that. And so they'd be able to offer a price that's, you know, say 20% less than Uber and Lyft. When the other, you know, once they have competition in those same markets, they're obviously going to have to lower those rates. But those rates for that time could be going to the people who paid for full self-driving at whatever price Tesla wanted, and that could be the higher price because you're getting in early and you're able to extract more revenue without having to be an Uber driver and have all of those associated costs and expenses in your own freaking time. Mm-hmm. Those all melt away, and you might actually be able to come out on top, and Tesla can do that math and figure out what that price is.
Yeah.
So it might be $100,000, it might be less, but it's definitely going to be pretty high.
Well, I'm not saying that, you know, Tesla can't, you know, make a lot of money and charge a lot during that time. They could, but I think the point I'm making is the higher amount that they charge and extract of that whole process, you know, for themselves, is it actually becomes a disadvantage the higher the amount it becomes, because first it encourages the competition to go after them much harder than before because they're seeing the huge markup, right? And then second, it actually like makes it where Tesla's in a little bit of a tight spot where you charge $100,000 and then let's say competition comes, now you're kind of reluctant to drop it down to $30,000 because people just bought it last year for $100,000, right? So it's kind of like this thing where the higher you charge, it's not necessarily advantageous sometimes. Sometimes you need to just say, okay, we're humble with this feature because we have the advantage right now for 3 or 4 years. Competition is coming. We're not going to milk it by, you know, charging ridiculous prices. We're going to do the right thing, right?
But you're not telegraphing what your markup is.
But also, the right thing, like, high. Economics doesn't work under the right thing. The economics works under what you can charge in a market. And if they are the monopoly for 3 or 4 years, they would be stupid not to charge what they can get, what people are willing to pay. So I'm just, I mean, one of the things they're doing now is they're going to go to a monthly, is what Elon said, which might be actually the way to go, because then you would pay this monthly and it could alternate month to month. But I'm just, I don't think, to your other point, to Tesla not wanting the competition. I think Tesla wants the competition. I think they actually, if this brings more people in, that's exactly what Elon wants. So I don't know. I do think that Elon's being honest here. He said, I'm thinking of charging $100,000, folks, get ready, because he wants us all to understand that this is kind of the path he's on.
Right. And if they ever have to bring that price down, I think that people are just like, okay, just the same way that my television got cheaper, just the same way that anything gets cheaper except for cell phones. Because if you're getting roughly the same thing, then of course the price is going to come down over time. And we got it new, and oh boy, weren't the rates back then super good? You know, I was so smart to get in early, or maybe not. I think that Tesla can do that math and make it so that it's either that people aren't going to complain, or people still feel like they got the, because they don't need to be at what the competition is going to come in at. They can definitely be above that, just because the people who buy it early are going to be seeing the benefits a lot earlier, and it could be, you know, basically net even.
Well, yeah. I guess I would just ask you, Dave, like, why do you think he said 100,000 if has no reason to do that? Like, what? Why wouldn't you just say it's going to go up to 30,000?
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, it's like, I think it's an ever kind of fluctuating, kind of changing situation, this whole, like, you know, robotaxi thing. And I think Elon doesn't really, like, know the future. Like, it really is coming up, like, and it's unfolding, things are changing. You know, there's a lot of variables for Elon as well. I think more recently,
Elon actually doesn't know the future.
Yeah. I think more recently he's starting to realize, hey, this stuff is going to be commoditized, autonomous driving, and that's what he's alluded to. It's not something that he would have said a few years ago. Maybe we know this is something more recent, where he said, okay, our advantage now is manufacturing long term, right? And I think he understands that any advantage that Tesla has with autonomous driving, it's I wouldn't say a completely fleeting advantage, because I actually think over time autonomous driving will be one of the key advantages for Tesla. You know, I think it's going to be an important part, an important piece. I just think when I look at the landscape, the same thing happened with Apple. Like the whole behind the scenes supposedly story was, you know, Eric Smith, the Google CEO, was on Apple's board, and, you know, they were coming up with their iPhone, and they're basically, he got, you know, word that of this, and as Apple launched it, they basically freaked out at Google, saying Apple's going to take over everything. It's going to become a monopoly on the smartphone. And the top brass at Google were like, if Apple's monopoly on the smartphone, then we're kicked out of the smartphone. We can't get ad revenue from all of our products and services. So Google's move was a defensive move for Android. And that's one of the reasons why I think Android is what it is. It's more like open source. Let's protect the smartphone from being dominated from just one player. And so they made it free. They gave it away. And they said, we're going to protect our ad revenue, you know, for all of our products and services. And so when I look at that case, it's like, when you look at Apple, like in the iPhone, because I was like one of the first iPhone holders, it's like, it was evident this thing is going to take over the world. You know, it's like, this is light years ahead. And it's like, it's interesting, like when that momentum happens, like no one really expected at that moment for Google to do what Google did. Like Google really came out of the blue and really just made a big bet to stop the monopoly of Apple. And they were very successful in doing that, because they put like 1,000 whatever engineers on this, and they made it a huge part of their focus. Like they really executed like crazy. And I think in a similar way, it's like when you look at the autonomous driving field market, this thing is huge. I mean, this thing is like, I mean, I'm sure you guys are picking up on it. Like this is mega, mega trillions of dollars. Like this is going to change everything we know about getting from place A to place point B, you know, right? Like the ramifications, we still have yet, like as much as we think about it, it's still going to be more like profound than what we realize, you know. I think both of us have that sense, you know, of how big this is going to be. And I think in some ways, like what I see is that this is going to be too big of an obvious opportunity slash hazard for these software companies to let Tesla dominate and become a monopoly and take trillions of dollars of value, when these other software companies like NVIDIA, like Intel Mobileye, like Google, like Amazon, et cetera, they have extreme motivation to continue to grow their market cap, right, and their values, et cetera. There are a limited number of markets that they can actually grow into, add hundreds of billions of dollars to the market cap. There's just not enough industries in the world. And so they have to go into transportation. Like this is a must in order for them to continue to grow as a company. And that's why I think, you know, eventually in 10 years, like Google, Amazon, Apple, like a lot of these companies are going to go head to head in some ways, because it's software. Software is eating everything. And there's a limited number of industries that software, you know, the big industries. And transportation is one of the biggest. I mean, this thing is like huge. You know, it's not just people, it's logistics, you know, goods, A to B, and services, you know, A to B. It's like drones delivering stuff. It's like it's the tentacles, like food delivery, restaurants, everything, right? And this massive thing is like, if it, the OEMs are dead in a sense. They don't catch it. They don't even have the ability to catch up. It's gone. But for certain tech companies, the big ones, who are able to see it, and my question mark is, there is still a chance that they don't catch it. They don't see it. They don't value it. They don't really put their marbles all in the bag and go after it, right? And then in that case, it's just Tesla to the moon and they'll take over. And maybe in a lot of senses, they can, literally, it could go up to 100,000. I don't know. It could be very high priced, higher than what I expected it to be. But I kind of lean on, if I was giving odds, my odds would be more like 70 on the side where there's going to be competition for Tesla in a reasonable amount of time, 3 or 4 years, and that competition is going to force Tesla to in a way adjust their pricing strategies and to realize that this isn't the holy grail of monopoly per se. I mean, that's not even Tesla's goal to do, you know, but
right, yeah.
They're going to realize this is something, a transition to something else. And
right.
They're going to price it accordingly as well.
I think that they can do 100,000 because as soon, you know, when the competition comes in, if their full self-driving is like early Android compared to iPhone, there wasn't much of a comparison. Like a lot of people were just like, it's iPhone or bust, and market share historically was totally for iPhone, and iPhone could and still can offer much higher priced things because it's just better, and especially in the beginning. And I think the same thing is going to be true of rides. Am I going to be trusting Tesla, the people who did it first and are way out ahead, or am I going to trust Google, who seems to be kind of behind? And I think that we're probably seeing a little bit of FUD early on. Maybe Google is already wise to this and are saying, you know, how can we always make sure that whenever a study happens, we're always number one in terms of full self-driving, and how can we push Tesla down and other companies down to number two and three and four and five, and hopefully as far low as we can get them. But I think that if Tesla comes out of the gate showing strong things and they're first, even if they're second, but they just have way more cars out on the road, which they currently do, I think that is going to be a huge public perception thing where I'm going to want, you know, if I'm going to be risking my life, I better be paying less money for it.
I don't deny your argument, except that you need strong leadership, which I don't see in many other sectors like Elon. I don't see the factories that Elon is building. Like, he's talked about this. They don't have some magic pixie dust. He's like, you can steal away my employees if you want, but then where are all the other gigafactories? So you have to start building these gigafactories if you're going to do that. And I don't see anyone
right,
doing that.
Right, because they have to be electric cars.
And then lastly, I don't see, Waymo is still using LiDAR. So it's like the day that I see them switching to understanding that LiDAR is a waste of time, then I'll know that they're onto something. But maybe they're doing it in secret. But like from what we've seen, no one gets it yet. So
right. And it needs to be in an electric car. So you need to do a Tesla. And right now there is no other company that is doing electric cars in the same scale that Tesla is doing it in.
Right.
And then on top of that, you need to add in this technology. And it's like –
We're not seeing either of those two things from any of the existing manufacturers. Even considering Google, they haven't made an electric car, and yet they would have to start doing that or have a company that they could be selling their hardware software
And
to.
then lastly is battery supply chain. Like they would have to, I mean, maybe they're secretly getting into battery supply chain and we haven't heard about it. But I haven't heard about it. So it's like that would have to be part of the play. So when those things all happen, then I'll know that the race is on. And then I agree with you. Yes, they're probably not that far behind. But it's kind of like they're all sleeping right now and we're like, oh, but they'll catch up.
I hope that conversation was helpful. If it was, please consider liking the video to help spread the word and also subscribing to my channel for future updates. In the video description below, I've added a link to a video for my full conversation with Zach and Jesse. They had a great attitude with the entire conversation that ultimately went almost 3 hours long. Hey, if you have any suggestions on who you'd like me to have on my show as a guest, please add them in the comments section below. On my channel, we're looking at the world through various lenses, trying to get beneath the surface of things. All my YouTube videos are also available as an audio podcast. Just go to your favorite podcast player and type in Dave Lee on Investing. Finally, I'm on Twitter and my handle is HeyDave7. We'll see you in my next video. Thanks.